The following recording is based on the booklet The Upper Clutha 150 Years, published by the Upper Clutha Historical Record Society. The Society has operated since 1985 and is a registered charity manned by volunteers. It operates out of the Wanaka Library and has a substantial collection of historical records and photographs of the Upper Clutha. The Society's objectives are to preserve and record the history of the Upper Clutha and make it available to all. The booklet is currently available for sale at the Wanaka Library. Due to ongoing research, some information may be subject to change. We would like to acknowledge this land has a rich history from the time of Waitaha arrival in 850 AD through to the start of the 20th century. Kaitahu Whānui lived off the land, from the land, and with the land, and across the land. It is a place steeped in whakapapa, from the Kaitahu Whānui settlements through to the early European settlers. This recording has been produced on behalf of Lake Wanaka Tourism for the Love Wanaka Knowledge Project. The project aims to instill a sense of kaitiaki through deeper knowledge of people and place. For more information, check out their website, wanaka.co.nz. The Empty Land. When the first Europeans entered the Upper Clutha, it was an empty, treeless land, dominated by the Great Lakes, rivers and mountains. Most of the lower land in this area of low rainfall was covered with tussock and low grey scrub such as Matagauri, Tea Tree and Caprosma. Only in the north, towards the main divide where the rainfall is higher, were there stands of trees, including beech, totara and rimu. These conditions are shown in the 1857 painting by J.T. Thompson on the cover of this book, which shows the view towards Lake Wanaka from the ranges to the east of Hawea. Māori knew the area well as a route to the greenstone resources of the west coast and as a place of summer visits for eeling. There had been some small Māori settlements around the lakes. However, the inhabitants of the settlements were killed or dispersed in a raid by Te Puoho, a North Island chief who came over the Haast Pass and raided the area in 1836. There were no Māori settlements in the area when Europeans first visited the area. The first Europeans to visit the area were explorers, both amateur and professional. In 1853, Nathaniel Chalmers, a settler from the Gore area, came through the Upper Clutha with the Māori's Reko and Kaikoura as guides, returning by raft down the Clutha. In 1857, J.T. Thompson, Otago's chief surveyor, entered the area to make an official assessment of the land. He came into the area over the Lindis Pass and up to Grandview Mountain to the east of Hawea, from where he overlooked the Hawea and Wanaka basins. The Pastoralists. Following Thompson's survey, the Upper Clutha was divided into large runs, and these were leased from 1858 for grazing sheep, mainly to city-based investors. These included John McLean, whose Morven Hills Run, based in the Lindis, and which included part of the Upper Clutha, had grown to 143,000 hectares by 1862, and by 1875, ran 120,000 sheep. Managers and shepherds ran these early runs. In the Wanaka area, Roy and Barton in 1860 took up land on the south shore of Lake Wanaka and brought in Henry and Mary Ann Norman to run their station. The Normans, who brought a flock of merinos with them over the Lindis Pass, were the first family that settled in the area, the first settlers. By the early 1860s, the Upper Clutha was populated by a small number of shepherds and managers, perhaps 20 or 30 people in total, looking after a lot of sheep. Gold. This isolated existence was broken by the discovery of gold. In March 1861, gold was discovered in the Lindis, and the first gold rush in Otago took place with several hundred men working the field. However, the returns were poor, and the find was quickly overshadowed by discoveries at Gabriel's Gully, and then in the Clutha, Kawaro, and Wakatipu areas. These fields in the Arrow and the Shotover were some of the richest in the world. In the Upper Clutha area, gold was found in the Cadrona Valley in 1862, and mining continued there through to the turn of the century, using a variety of methods including sluicing, tunnelling, and eventually dredging. The town of Cadrona grew around these activities and at one time had a population of 400. Gold had wider effects on the Upper Clutha than just the local diggings. One of the main routes from the coast to the rich gold fields in the Wakatipu was up the Waitaki and through the Lindis Pass to the Hawea Flats, from where the Clutha was crossed at Albertown and then on up the Cadrona to the Wakatipu. This flood of miners through the area brought the need for facilities to serve them, and an accommodation house and a ferry was soon built at Albertown. In 1862, the Normans, who were released by John Roy when he sold his run, took over the accommodation house and ferry at Albertown and ran them for many years. Gold had well and truly broken the isolation of the Upper Clutha. Timber. In much of the Upper Clutha and the Central Otago region generally, there were no trees for timber. Pastoral farming, gold mining, and the new towns created a demand for timber, and the substantial native timber resources at the head of Lake Wanaka and in the Matukituki Valley was soon being brought into use. Pit sawing was started at Makarora as early as 1861 by J.D. Ross, and milling in other areas followed, including in the Matukituki Valley and at Lake Hawea. While some timber was milled close to its source, many logs from Makarora were floated down the lake in rafts and then down the Clutha to Cromwell. From Cromwell, the raftsmen returned on foot to Lake Wanaka carrying their ropes and then repeating the voyage. These timber extraction activities and the access needed for them brought people into some of the more remote parts of the district, opening up these areas to closer settlement. Towns. The first towns arose in the district in about 1862 and grew around centres of activity. Albertown, at the ferry crossing of the Clutha, and Cadrona, around the gold mining. In 1863, towns were surveyed. Pembroke, Wanaka, on the shore of Roy's Bay, Newcastle, Albertown, and Gladstone, John's Creek. Other settlements followed as farming activity increased, including Luggett in 1869 and Hawea Flat in 1870. By the early 1880s, there was a store at Makarora, followed by a hotel in 1885. The towns were relatively close together, as travel was mainly on foot. The fortunes of these various settlements changed as activities in the district altered and transport developed. At first, Cadrona was the biggest town with up to 400 people, and by 1870 had 4 hotels, 7 stores, 4 butchers, a blacksmith's, a baker, a church, and a school. But eventually, the gold ran out and the town shrank. Later, Albertown was the commercial centre of the district, but was challenged for that role by Pembroke by 1878. As farming on the Hawea Flat grew, the town there became increasingly important, and there was rivalry between Hawea Flat and Pembroke. Hawea Flat, at one stage, having 3 hotels, a blacksmith, a store, and a church. In later years, with transport improving, with New Zealanders looking for places to holiday, tourism developing, and the ski fields opening up, Pembroke, Wanaka since 1940, became the focus of tourism and commerce in the district.